You know, I've noticed when it comes to life perspective that usually there are two kinds of people. There are rearview mirror people and there are windshield people. The rearview mirror people are all those people that are going through life, but they're constantly looking back. Where they've been, what has happened, I wish I could go back and do things differently. I wish I hadn't have done this, and I wish I hadn't have done that. And their entire lives basically are going, I regrets. I wish I'd done things differently. The windshield people look mostly ahead. They glance back for perspective, but primarily it's what opportunities are ahead of me. What are things out there that God wants to use me to do or wants in my life? And those are more of the windshield people. I've never really been a rearview mirror guy personally. I like to see, what does God have up ahead? What opportunities are there? And as we come to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts in our sermon series through the book of Acts, the very first church had a choice to be a rearview mirror church or a windshield church. I mean, things had gone horribly wrong. Last Sunday, we saw that one of their leaders, a proto-deacon, if you will, Stephen, had been brutally murdered, bludgeoned to death outside of the Damascus gate. And as a result, those that killed him, the religious leaders, they now have blood on their tongues. They're coming for more. So under the leadership of Saul of Tarsus, great persecution arose, and he ravaged the church. The word of an angry animal tearing apart meat was the word that's used. And he went house to house of all the church members, dragging them out of their homes, putting them in prison, and killing a lot of them, men and women both, we're told. And those who survived all fled Jerusalem. They got out of there. They had to run for their lives. And the only ones that stayed in Jerusalem were the 12 disciples. So you have hundreds of new believers scattering to Judea and Samaria. And now they had a choice. They could be a rearview mirror church. What did we do wrong? How could Stephen still be alive? If only we had done this, if only we had done that, our friends would still be alive that have been killed. Or they could be a windshield church. Yes, it was awful and what happened was terrible, but now that we're in Judea and Samaria, what opportunities are here for us to share the gospel? And we're going to see which one they chose. Read with me, starting in chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. But there was a man named Simon who previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on of hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I say that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me, the Lord, that nothing of what you said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many of the villages of the Samaritans. I want us to see what's going on. First of all, the first seven chapters of the book of Acts all took place in the city of Jerusalem. Now, for the first time, Christianity began to spread outside of Jerusalem to the neighboring areas. Finally, for the first time. And I'm so glad that Christianity began to spread, because it eventually made it to Oklahoma. And I heard it. And I accepted it. Amen. My life has changed. Amen. Now, I want you to see in our outline of the book of Acts, you'll see it on the screen. We have been, for the first seven chapters, in the gold portion that says church established in Jerusalem. But now with chapter 8, for the first time and for the next several weeks, we're going to be in the green section, where the gospel is not just in Jerusalem, it's starting to be scattered to Judea and Samaria, and then finally in the red section to the ends of the earth. Now, look at the next slide. This is a picture of Israel, and I want you to see where Samaria and Judea are. Israel, even today, is this section here in the light color in the middle. If you look at the brown, the light brown, Samaria is at the top, Judea is at the bottom, and right in between the two is the city of Jerusalem. So whenever the believers spread, they went both directions, to the north Samaria, to the south Judea. They got out of Jerusalem, but as they went, the gospel was being spread to both areas. Now let's look at some interesting things that happened in the top part known as Samaria. Number one on your outline, verses 4 through 8, Jesus is proclaimed in Samaria. We are told, as the believers went, they were scattered, and the word literally means scattering seed. Diaspiro is the word that's used. And it literally means take seed, and as you go along, throw it out. You never know what's going to grow. So as they're running from Jerusalem, running for their lives, they are preaching the gospel as they go, scattering seeds as they go, never knowing what God's going to use to bring a harvest. Now, it says that they were preaching, but it's not the word that's usually used for like standing up behind a pulpit preaching. They didn't do that. The word is euangelion. We get the word evangelism from it. It literally means sharing your faith. As they went, sowing seeds, sharing their faith, God began to use these believers that were persecuted as they went. Now our attention focuses on one of their believers in particular. His name was Philip. He also was one of the first seven deacons of the church back in chapter 6 of Acts. Remember, they selected seven men. Stephen was one. He was killed last week. Now Philip speaks up. And we're told that Philip went to Samaria in the north. He preached the word, and this time the word for standing behind a pulpit, caruso, preaching, is used. So he preached the word like standing up to the people. They listened to what he said. He also performed miracles. There were those that were demon-possessed. He cast out demons. The demons would shriek and come out of them. They brought it to him lame, paralyzed. They were healed. They walked. And the Samaritans, whenever they saw Philip performing the miracles, when they heard him preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were saved and baptized. And they were Samaritans. Did you hear that? They were Samaritans. Why is that important? Jews hated Samaritans. And Samaritans hated Jews. Why? I'll get to that in a minute. There's a history they have. But Philip, a Jew, went to the people he hated and preached Jesus. And the people he hated responded, and they were brothers. That's a miracle. You read it and you just kind of pass over it. It was miraculous. Today, Jews and Palestinians hate each other. The Samaritans ever bit as much as the Palestinians. It would be like me reading to you in a passage, and Philip, a Jew, went to the Palestinians in the West Bank and preached Jesus, and they got saved. That would be miraculous. That's what happened. God was at work when they spread out of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to see what happened next. Number two on your outline. A magician comes to Christ. One of the men living in Samaria was a man by the name of Simon. Simon practiced black magic. The word majuo is used. It's sometimes translated demonic. Sometimes it's translated sorcery. Sometimes translated as a magician. But he was somebody who used demonic powers, black magic, and sleight of hand to control the people. He was one of them. And he did it for a long time. And he was good at it. In fact, if you don't think he was good at it, just ask Simon. He'll tell you he's good at it. Because he promoted himself. He said, "I am somebody great." And they believed him. Wow, look at those miracles. Wow, look at all that he's doing. That's amazing. He must be from God. That's what they said. And into town rides Philip, preaching the kingdom and preaching Jesus. So now we have two powers at work, a demonic power in Simon and God's power in Philip. Both of them performing miracles. Both of them are amazing to people. Both of them have the people's attention. Which one wins? Philip and the gospel wins. Because it's always more powerful than evil every time. So as they heard Philip and saw Philip, they believed and were baptized. And the Bible says, even Simon the magician saw and heard and believed and was baptized. Can you imagine that baptism service? All right, everybody, let me have your attention. We're about to baptize Simon. He is a demon. But he believed in Jesus, and he has black magic and black power. Man, he's going out of the waters in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I can imagine the joy at whenever he went down and came back up. Because the gospel had won. As a side note, did you notice in Samaria how many people, as soon as they got saved, they were baptized immediately? Did you notice that? That doesn't happen a lot today. A lot of times people get saved in our church, and it's like pulling teeth to get them in the baptistry. I mean, Shannon will call them 14 times, my assistant. And, "Well, I'm not ready yet. Well, it's the wrong Sunday. Well, I don't know. Well, I'm thinking about it." And 2 years later, they finally get baptized. Folks, it is a scriptural principle that whenever you're saved, you're baptized immediately. We'll see it again next Sunday. Whenever you're saved, baptism should follow quickly. Amen. And even Simon the magician was one of them. Now, we're told as soon as Simon got saved, it says in our English, he continued with Philip, but the Greek word literally means cling on to somebody, not let go. So if you can imagine Philip's going about and this former magician's got a hold of him and he wanted to be with him so much. Look at this guy. Listen to this guy. Isn't he amazing? And constantly, everywhere he went, the magician, former magician, is clinging to Philip as he's trying to preach the word. But then something interesting happens. Look at number 3 on your outline, verses 14 to 25. Peter and John arrive in Samaria. Well, once the Samaritans started receiving Jesus, eyebrows began to raise. Samaritans and Jews together? That doesn't make sense. But not just in Samaria, eyebrows raised all the way back in Jerusalem. You remember, as I said earlier, the only ones that stayed in Jerusalem were the 12 disciples. So they're still there. Word makes it back from Samaria to Jerusalem that the Samaritans are getting saved. Philip's preaching. They're believing it, and they're getting saved. And the 12 disciples go, what? Samaritans getting saved? They don't like Jesus, and God hates them. What? That doesn't make sense. Why would Philip, first of all, preach in Samaria? And second of all, why on earth would God save them? He hates Samaritans. What's going on? I don't know. Wouldn't you love to have been in a business meeting that Wednesday night? Hey, what's going on? I don't know. We better check it out. Let's go down and see what's happening. So Peter and John, the leaders of the church, decide to go down to Samaria, see what's going on. By the way, did you notice on our map that Samaria was north, but the Bible said go down from Jerusalem to Samaria? Looks like you'd be going up. But if you've ever been to Jerusalem, Jerusalem sits on top of a mountain, kind of like Denver. It's a mile in elevation up. So literally everywhere you go from Jerusalem, you're going down any direction. So they're going down to the north to Samaria to see what is up with the Samaritans getting saved. Now, time out. Let's take time out for a moment. Why do the Samaritans and Jews hate each other so much? There's a history there. Let me explain it to you. Stay with me. Go back from our passage. Pause it right there. Go back 700 years. We're in the Old Testament. It's 722 B.C., Israelites living in Israel, they were overrun and captured by the Assyrians. The Assyrians, when they came in, killed some of the Israelites. Other of the Israelites, they took back to Assyria to live as slaves. They took back with them the wealthiest of the Israelites, the higher class and the middle class of the Israelites, and the intelligent Jews. Because they'll benefit the kingdom of Assyria. So they killed some of them, took a lot of them back to Assyria to live as slaves, the brightest and the best, and they left to live in Israel a few Israelites, the poor, the lower class, those who didn't have a lot to offer, and the elderly. Just let you live there. It's fine. You're not going to hurt anybody. You're of no use to us. So some of the Israelites stayed there. The poor. The outcast. The lowest of the Israelites. Now, Israel was not the only nation Assyria conquered. They conquered other nations as well. So they would take slaves from the other nations and they brought them to Israel to live in Israel. So now in Israel, you have a hodgepodge, a mess. You have poor Jews, elderly Jews. You have nations around them that are godless, that believe everything. I mean, it's a hodgepodge of everything, and they're all living in Israel. Eventually, these poor Jews, low-class Jews, marry the ones living around them from other nations. And they start having kids. And their kids are called Samaritans. So the purebred Jews, the brightest, the best, the higher classes, the wealthy, the smart, are enslaved here. They hear that back in Israel, the Jews that were left are intermarrying and having kids with all the other nations. And so they look with disdain down upon them. Oh my goodness, what's the low class anyway? What do you expect? Now they got a bunch of half-breeds running around. Half Jew and half who knows what. Cocker Spaniel, I don't know, half everything. Believing everything, living wild. And immediately in 722, anger grew up between the purebred Jews and the Samaritans. And it stayed. Go 150 years later, southern kingdom is destroyed. Babylonian captivity, hatred remains. Go a little bit further. They now, 539 BC, the Jews that are purebred, they're allowed to go back home. Now you got problems because Jews and Samaritans are all in the same place. So the Samaritans say, we're going to live in our own place so we don't have to rub shoulders with you. Jews say, that's fine with us. We hate you anyway, you low-class half-breeds. Just get out there. And they say, well, you snobby purebreds. And so they didn't get along. So right in the very center of the country is where the Samaritans settled. But now you got problems. The purebreds want to restore the temple. Samaritan said, care about your temple. I'm going to help you. We're going to build our own temple where God will meet us, not you. So they had their own temple at a place called Mount Gerizim. The Samaritans didn't believe the Old Testament. They believed only the first five books. That's all. Nothing else. They also did not believe that a Messiah was coming. Did not believe in a Messiah. So a lot of differences between Jews and Samaritans. So now they're living in the same land and they hate each other. Go a little further, about 150 years later, the Greeks have a battle with the purebred Jews because the purebred Jews wanted to throw off Greek Hellenistic culture. It was called the Maccabean Revolt. And the Samaritans fought for the Greeks against their half-brothers because they hated them so. And then the New Testament arrives. And by the time of Jesus, the hatred between Samaritans and Jews is at a fever pitch. In fact, Jesus' disciples would not even, as they had to go from the north to the south, would not even walk through the part of Samaria. They'd walk all the way around so their feet wouldn't have to touch that dirty Samaritan soil. So whenever Jesus said things like, one time I healed 10 lepers, 9 of them did not thank me, only one turned back and said thanks, and that one happened to be a Samaritan. And they went, and then he told another parable about a good Samaritan. And they went, they're no good Samaritans. What are you talking about? They're all evil. They hated them. And if you remember, right before Jesus went to Jerusalem to the cross, they're going from the north to the south. This time Jesus made them walk through the Samaritan villages. And they're walking through, hating every minute of it. Jesus said, go on up ahead to the next town and see if you can find a place for us to stay. So some disciples went on up ahead of them, asked the people of Samaria, is there some place Jesus can stay tonight? Nope, get out of here, Jews. Ooh, that just made them seethe. They were so angry. And they came back to Jesus and reported it and said, Jesus, we hate these Samaritans so much. Can we call down fire from heaven? And I mean, just incinerate this place. And Jesus rebuked them and they went on. By the way, one of those guys that wanted to blow up the town was John. James and John. So now fast forward to our passage. Hatred's still there. Philip went to Samaria to preach, and they got saved. And they're brothers. And going down now to investigate from the purebreds, Peter and John. Wait a minute, John? Yep, that same John that wanted to blow up the place. They arrive and they check it out and went, you know, God is at work here. Samaritans are getting saved. They don't believe in the Messiah. And they're getting saved. They believe a greater Moses is coming one day, but now they're actually believing in a Messiah. This is amazing. It's the work of God. And Peter and John's heart towards Samaritans begins to change. So Peter and John went up to these Samaritans and said, look, guys, it looks like, you got saved and you got baptized. Did you get the Holy Spirit? They said, the what? The Holy Spirit. Never heard of him. Wait a minute, you don't remember when back in Acts 2, whenever at Pentecost, we got saved, the Holy Spirit came and there were tongues and fire and wind, and it's amazing. You didn't have that? No. Well, you need it. You need the Holy Spirit. And so they laid their hands on the Samaritans, Peter and John did. Remember, they didn't want to touch the filthy things before. Now they're laying hands on them. And whenever they prayed, the Spirit of God fell upon the Samaritans. And they had the same Holy Spirit as the Jews. Now, what on earth is happening? Nowhere else in all of Scripture, every time somebody trusts Jesus in Scripture, the Holy Spirit immediately indwells them. Now, for the only time in Scripture, there is a delay between being saved and baptized and the Holy Spirit coming later. What's going on? Is this normative? No, it's not normative. It's a one-off. But why? Here's what a lot of theologians believe, and I think they're right. They believe that what happened was God was waiting for Peter and John to get there personally. See with their own eyes, you have the same Jesus I have, and you can get the same Holy Spirit I have, and we're on the same team. Because if they'd stayed in Jerusalem, the same Holy Spirit came over here as Samaritans. Some scholars believe we would have two churches, not one. A Samaritan gospel and a Jewish gospel. And he wanted them to be one with no hatred, no prejudice, no racism, no bigotry. Only one. So God was in essence saying, Peter and John, I want you to go to Samaria. There's no place for discrimination or prejudice or hatred of anybody in the body of Christ. I want you to go. You're two of the worst. Get down there yourselves. See what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit will not come upon them until you lay their hands on them. And whenever you do, you're going to see with your own eyes they have the same Holy Spirit as you. There is no distinction. Because Peter and John, there is no place for prejudice or racism or bigotry in the body of Christ. Get down there and lay your hands on them. And they did. And they were brothers. Not two. One. One more side note. You remember Simon the magician? Well, he was watching this. He's watching Peter and John lay their hands on them. And the Holy Spirit come and, wow, things start to happen. He goes, wow, that would be cool to have. That would be really cool power. Wonder how much I can pay for it. So he went up to Peter. Peter, hey, man, that was really cool. Man, you just touched him. Something in your hands just poof. And I mean, it was amazing. That was cool. Can I buy that power from you? How about a little silver? And Peter said, Simon, you'd better watch out. You're messing with the power of God and you can't buy it. Your silver and gold, they'll both go to hell with you. You cannot obtain the gift of God with money. You don't have any part. You don't have any lot in this. Repent of your wicked heart. Simon, your heart's not right. Repent. You're in the gall of bitterness, the bottom of iniquity, which meant poison. Get rid of the poison in your heart. Simon, you're not right. Simon said, oh, brother, pray for me. This will not happen to me. We're not told what Peter said next, but we are told that Peter and John left back to Jerusalem. And as they were going through Samaria, they stopped at many Samaritan villages. Remember, they used to wouldn't stop there. They stopped at many Samaritan villages and preached Jesus. That's a miracle. So our story ends the tale of two hearts. Peter and John's heart is now right. No prejudice, no hatred, brothers, Samaritans. And Simon's heart, was it genuine? Was it not? 50-50, we don't know. Interesting tradition as to what happened to Simon later. I'll tell you about it another time. But our story ends with the question, what's your heart like? You believer, okay. Still got discrimination there, hatred there, bitterness there. Are there some groups you still don't like? Or do you call them brothers and sisters in Christ? What is your heart like? Story ends. So it's a good question for us. There's an old fable that I read that goes like this. A mouse was playing under the bushes, having a great time. All of a sudden, a cat jumped in the bushes. And boy, I mean, they're going at it back and forth. And finally, the mouse looks up into the sky and says, oh, please make me a cat. Poof, he's a cat. Whew, life's good. So the cat goes bobbing along the prairie, and all of a sudden, a dog comes along. It starts chasing the cat, and oh my goodness, back and forth. And the cat looks up, oh, please make me a dog. Poof, he's a dog. Whew. Close. So the dog's out walking after that, searching for food, and a tiger comes along. Starts chasing the dog, and they're going back and forth, and they run down to the river, and the dog jumps in. Oh, whew, man, my goodness. Oh, please make me a tiger. Poof, he's a tiger. So he's out prowling on the prairie, looking for some food among the hills, and a hunter comes along. And starts chasing the tiger. And he runs and he runs and he runs and gets to the jungle. Oh, please make me a hunter. And all of a sudden a voice comes from the sky that says, I changed you from a mouse to a cat to a dog to a tiger, and now you want to be a hunter. You can try to become whatever you want. But if your heart remains the heart of a mouse, nothing's ever really going to change. And that's the story of this passage. You can try to become whatever you want, but if your heart is never truly transformed, nothing ever really changes. Father, I want to thank you today for the story of the heart, and I pray that, God, we'll examine our own hearts, Lord, to see if there's poison there, gall of bitterness or the bond of iniquity. And Father, it is my prayer that you would look inside of our hearts, but most of all, reveal to us what you see. Lord, help us to love the hated Samaritans, knowing that you love them as much as you do us, and you want Jesus for them too. Father, I pray today that whenever we see our hearts, I pray that you would show us areas that need to change. Most of all, if we don't know Jesus, I pray today will be the day we trust Christ. But Lord, I also want to pray for those today who have trusted Christ, but they find in their hearts cynicism, sarcasm, anger at times, criticism. And they don't really see much of you there. God, I pray that somehow you'd come in and transform that heart. Because unless the heart changes, God, not really anything else does. So that's my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.